It's really not as new a thing as you might think, because a lot of the conventions have been giving the message to all the churches anyway, and they preach the same churches. A lot of them preach the same message every Sunday. You go to one Southern Baptist church, they might preach the same message as another Southern, because they're getting it off the internet from the convention a lot of times. I'm not saying that's always the case. American Baptist Church might be the same thing. But now we are seeing the remnant of Bible believers that are falling away. What else could happen except the Lord call us out soon? Amen. Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Whereas by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of an obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Thank God for the Bible, amen. That's a mouthful. Paul was talking to them and explaining to them, and he had dealt with the Galatians and dealt with other churches talking about the fact that when you get saved, you don't keep the law for your salvation. You don't keep the law to keep it. You don't keep the law to get it. You didn't earn it. Jesus Christ did. But I want to look at some things in Romans 5 and 6 today as we go back through some of these verses. And in verse 12 through 14, we'll look at this. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. First thing I want to see is the fallen. The fallen. Adam was made to live forever. He was placed in a perfect situation, in a perfect environment, with one rule. And you know the story. The serpent comes in, more subtle than any beast of the field, and talks the woman into trying the fruit. Talks the woman into trying of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam takes of the fruit, and man is in a fallen state. See, what's that mean? That means when you look around the world today, you're seeing a fallen state. You're not only seeing a sin-cursed world and a sin-cursed mess, and everybody says, oh, well, how, you know, a lot of people say, well, how could God allow this? How could he, you know, if he's a almighty God, how could he allow cancer, and how could he allow, you know, all these things, and diabetes, and, you know, the plagues, all the things that have happened? And the truth is, you can't blame that stuff on God, because this is a sin-cursed earth. This is not what God intended. This world is in a cursed state, a fallen state. Man is in a fallen state. And when you're dealing with people, you're talking to people that are in a fallen state. Say, well, how could people get together and decide that they just want to wipe out big parts of the population, that they don't really care about you, that they're important and nobody else is, because they've become their own God? Man is in a fallen state. When you look around, things are in a fallen state. When you watch Fox News and CNN, don't watch that CNN stuff, but when you're watching the news, whatever you're watching or listening to, you're listening primarily 99.9% of the time, people that are in a fallen state. And you listen to people give their opinion, and they try to give their focus, and they try to make the things that are important to them things that are important to you. And whether or not Russia takes over part of the Ukrainian land has nothing to do with our eternity. We're not just going to stay up all night and chew on our fingernails and wonder whether or not Putin's going to send a missile, or Trump's going to sign this or sign that, or that's going to... Hey, you know what? We're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Our purpose is to focus on praying for folks that, and witnessing to folks that are in a fallen state. But the devil wants to inundate us with a bunch of garbage and get our focus on things that have no eternal meaning. It's a big diversionary tactic. and all the conspiracies, and I used to call them conspiracy theories, but all the conspiracies, mostly facts out there now, all of that stuff, you can focus on that stuff until you just about have a stroke. But the truth is, we're still called to witness for Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're called to be a testimony, have a clean testimony, and try to tell people it's not us, it's Him, and point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, people, every now and again, when you're talking to them, say, what makes you think you're better than me? I don't think I'm better than you. I'm probably worse than you. But Jesus Christ is better than all of us, and He died for our sins. Amen. But man is in a fallen state. Look at verse 14 again. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of Him that was to come. We see the figure. The fallen and the figure. The first Adam was made to live forever. The first Adam was made to have dominion over the earth. The first Adam was made to fellowship with God for His pleasure. And after the fall in the garden, those things have been fractured and those things have been lost. He is in a fallen state. He lost the dominion that He had, but He's a figure of the one to come. You know why He's a figure of the one to come? Because God knew when He made Adam, He knew. He was not surprised by the devil's tactics. He knew what was going to happen, and He had the last Adam waiting to come and die for you. So the first Adam was the figure of that to come. The last Adam, by the way, like I said earlier, we're going to meet Him halfway this time, amen? He's going to meet us in the air. He came down to us. And if you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, we're going up to Him. He's already worked hard enough, amen? We're going to meet Him. And then after 7 years, they call the time of Jacob's troubles, that time appointed unto Daniel's people, and that last 3.5 years, which is great tribulation like this world's never seen. The last Adam's coming back, and he's going to rule and reign on the throne of David after he defeats the beast and the false prophet and casts the devil into a lake of fire, or casts the devil, binds him. He defeats the beast, false prophet, casts him in a lake of fire. The devil's bound for 1,000 years, and the last Adam will rule and reign on the throne of David, and then he'll turn that over to David for eternity, and we'll be with him in the new Jerusalem forever. And this earth is going back to Israel, and the center of everything is going to be Jerusalem and the throne that Jesus Christ takes back from the devil. Amen? The fallen, the figure. Look at verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. We see the free gift. So what's the free gift? You know what a lot of religion thinks the free gift is? That Jesus gave you an opportunity to work your way to heaven. You had the opportunity before you accepted Jesus Christ and you were failing. Amen? But religion says if you just, you know, we believe Jesus and we believe that He did this and He's our starting point. Oh no, He's our life. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul said, for to live is Christ and to die is gain. Christ, who is our life. He's not a starting point. He's a new birth point. And He's our eternity. It's a free gift. I like how people say, well, you know, yeah, but you got to earn it. You got to keep it. I don't know what kind of Christmas parties they have when they were kids, but y'all ever get a gift from somebody and they say, here's a gift, but you owe me $19.95. Now, you can keep that if you do this, that, and the other. You know what the Lord said? For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a free gift. We know that. But it's not our gift. It's His. And He wants us to tell other people about that free gift. Look at chapter number 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now we see the foolish. Now we know Psalm 14 is talking about the most foolish person there is. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But you know who's the runner-up? Those that are saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ and just keep living in sin. Oh, you Baptists, you think once saved, always saved. No, I know once saved, always saved. But I don't think once saved, sin and always saved. I think once saved, always saved. And if you sin, the Lord will put a boot in your britches. I don't believe we're without judgment as saved people. I believe eternally we have eternal life and we're saved forever. But I don't believe for a second, and I don't know very many Baptists, I don't think there are any Baptist preachers that I know of that believe that you can just live any old way you want because you're saved. But we have a Savior that's worth living right for. Amen? Why do you think Paul would have to say that? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because the churches in Paul's day were wicked too. They had churches that denied the deity of Jesus Christ. They had churches that denied the Holy Spirit. They denied the Trinity. They had churches that thought that your works were what counted and you had to add your works to Jesus Christ, or you had to, work plus this, work plus that, work plus, and keep the Ten Commandments after you're saved. The churches that, remember, these are saved Jews in the early church. They had a lot of Jews that thought they still had to be circumcised to be right with God. And God is looking at now, after the death of His Son, He's not looking at a physical circumcision. He's looking at a heart problem. And He's looking for a circumcised heart where the filth has been cut away and Jesus Christ can actually rule and reign on the throne of the heart. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And the fool that saved lives like there is no God. Do you like that judge not stuff? I mean, if they're a flaming foofy and a guy wearing a dress with pink sandals or something, you're supposed to say, judge not. Judge not. Say, well, God made two genders. Oh, judge not. Well, this is wrong. That's a lie. That's not biblical. Judge not. The reason they want you to judge not so everybody can go to hell comfortably. They want to be as comfortable as they can on their way to a burning fire forever. And the truth is, I want them to be uncomfortable about the fact they're going to hell. I'm glad I'm not going, praise the Lord. And it'd be easy to just sit on the couch at home and say, well, I'm not going. Good luck. But I like to aggravate them and let them know where they're going, because if somebody doesn't tell them, they're going to be surprised to find out that the man has lied to them, that science has deceived them, falsely so-called, that preachers have taken their money and not given them truth, that preachers have tickled their ears and said, you're all right, I'm all right. God is love. And how would a loving God put anyone in hell? Well, I'll tell you how He would. When they're standing before Him at the great white throne of judgment, and He says, what did you do with my son? And they said, well, I rejected him. And he'd say, depart from me, I never knew you. The foolishness. Look at verse 2 through 4. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. We see the forgiven. The forgiven. That should be our motivation. Amen? That should be our motivation. That we are buried with him by baptism into death, verse 4, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Why? Because we have been placed in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is eternal. So, well, how do you believe you can get saved and keep it? Because I'm in the eternal Word of God. Amen. God is sneaking me in, covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, before I even get there, He's going to change me, and nobody will ever know. It'll just be God's secret. I won't even remember. Amen. I won't have to get up in the morning and think, I don't want to go to church. I know you probably don't believe I think that, but just on Sundays. Sometimes I tell my wife on Tuesday night, I don't want to go to church tomorrow night, or Wednesday. I don't want to go to church. She says, well, tough apples, buddy. I said, well, sometime. Sitting at a stop sign the other day, we drove over. We were driving in the road, stop on the railroad tracks, four-way stop. You ever notice since computers and cell phones, nobody knows how to even go through a four-way stop anymore? It's like confusing. It's like, oh, I got here first, I go first. I got here last, I go first. Everybody go first. I'm going to partially confess so you can turn your collar around for a second. I was letting everybody go because I didn't know what was going on. I really wasn't paying attention to who got there first. Well, it was my turn, but the guy starts to go, and I thought, I'll just wait. And he stops, and he's like, and I start, and he starts. And I'm on the railroad track sitting down, and I'm like, I got to go. So I go, and I'm like rolling down my window to say I'm sorry. And he makes funny fingers at me. And then he says some very unkind things to me that I probably deserve worse, but it was very unkind. And you know what the Lord allowed me to see? Just how carnal I am sometimes. Because by the grace of God and my wife sitting in the truck, I didn't disqualify myself from pastoring church. Because I just thought for a second, I could break that finger off and black both your eyes in Jesus' name. No. But you know, one day I won't have those thoughts. I know you all don't anyway because you all have arrived. But I take things personally sometimes when the truth is that guy never met me before in his life. He should take it personal that somebody raised him that way. Amen? But I wasn't born saved. Amen? I didn't get saved till after I'd been through a couple of those fist fights at stop signs and stuff. And it's almost like a spinal cord reflex that I have to fight. But do you know that we're not going to have to battle that anymore? So we don't have to worry about Fauci. We don't have to worry about Bill Gates. We don't have to worry about CNN or Fox News or the Bidens or the Clintons. Hey, one of these days, I'm not going to have to worry about me. Amen. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the Lord's going to make me right. Right. I often wonder when it says the pastor's not supposed to be a striker, is that habitual or could I do it once? Amen? I'd only feel better for about 30 seconds. And then the Lord would work me over. But they're forgiven. We're forgiven. Look at verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. There's our future. There's our future. You won't need a bracelet that says, what would Jesus do? You'll do what Jesus would do. We'll do what He would do. I believe we have the mind of Christ in front of us in print, what we need to do right. But we also have an old fallen nature we're dragging along with us. And one of these days, the old nature is going to be gone and we'll just have the mind of Christ. And then things will make sense. Amen. The future. Look at verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. The faithful. I think we should land there for a little bit and talk about the faithful. God is faithful. We're going to heaven because God is faithful. If we were going because of our faithfulness, we wouldn't make it. But we're going because He's faithful, and He's given us a promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. We're placed in Christ. We're born again. We're born out of the family of the devil into the family of God. But I want to talk about being faithful, because I don't think we understand what being faithful really means in our ability. Because the same Paul that disobeyed God and went where he wasn't supposed to go, when he wasn't supposed to go, God used to lead people to Jesus Christ. The same Paul that wasn't perfect in his walk, the same Paul that said, that I would, I do not, he talks about the struggles of the flesh, God used to write 14 books of your New Testament. And God said he was our pattern of Christianity. You know why he's our pattern? Because we're not Jesus Christ. We're more like Paul. The best we can do is say, Lord, forgive me, and go on and let God use us. I'll be honest with you. After the stop sign thing, it used to be when I was lost, I would have felt horrible for 3 days for not punching the guy in the face. Seriously, it would have bothered me. I'd have felt better getting whooped than not doing something about it. But I felt bad for a long while because, first of all, I wish that stuff wasn't in my heart anymore. Second of all, my wife's probably thinking I'm hooked to this bozo for eternity until the Lord calls us out of here. Amen. But that conviction is not a bad thing. Conviction is a sign that you still have a sensitivity to that still small voice. And you don't want to lose that. I had these little kids' picnic tables, and had a couple of them for sale. I have one for sale for like, everybody and their grandma wants one. You don't have one. You get 20 of them, nobody wants one anymore. So I built these tables, had one left, been trying to sell it, cut it down to barely over material cost. Kid says, I want that. And the schedule wasn't right. He was always late or couldn't make it. I drove down to Meijer to meet him, and he couldn't be there. And the Lord's like, you need to get this guy this picnic table. And I don't know why it was a picnic table. But I thought, I want it out of my garage. And normally I'd have quit fooling with him after two or three times, you know. But the Lord said, you need to meet this kid. And I went down there yesterday, talked to him. And he shows up. He said, I promise you, I'll be there before 6 this time. At 10 after 6, he's saying, oh, I'm 10, 15 minutes away, you know. And I'm like, okay. Sitting here in Meijer parking lot for an hour and a half. But he shows up. And I didn't have change, and he had too much money on his, to give me the exact amount. And he said, just take that and keep it. And I said, well, how much you got there? And he had like $16. I said, give me that, take that table and go home, man. Go on. He said, all right, thanks. And he's loading it in his truck, and I'm talking to him.
Probably
his mid-20s or so. Witnessing to him, and he said, my dad just got killed in a car wreck 2 weeks ago. And I talked to him for a while. And I left, and he was headed to work, and he messaged me, and he said, hey, you do woodwork? He said, would you make a cross to put my the site where my dad passed away? I'm not really into that stuff, but you know what? That's an opportunity to maybe go down there and pray with him, maybe see him get saved. Same bozo that wanted to strangle a guy at the stop sign. God gave me a chance to tell him about eternal life through Jesus Christ. And hopefully and prayerfully, pray for a kid named Blake. We'll be able to get together and pray together and maybe see him get saved. Being faithful doesn't mean you always do everything right. Being faithful means you know when you need to get right. Amen? The fallen, the figure, the free gift, the foolish, the forgiven, the future. Praise the Lord, the future. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The faithful. Look at verse 22 of chapter number 6. But now, being made free from sin, become servants to God. You have your fruits unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Jump back to verse 7 of chapter 6. For he that is dead is freed from sin. The freedom. The freedom. The old man. If you're here today and you've truly trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and if you haven't, you better. You better repent, sinner, and get right, trust the Lord, call on Him. But if you're here today and you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the old man that was dragging you to hell has been judged dead. And the new man, which is Christ Jesus, living in you, is taking you to heaven. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you know Him? I was talking to a guy here a while back, and he was doing this thing, talking of all this science and telling people, you know, if he was God, he would have done this better and that better and the other thing better. And then he was the one I told you that said, well, I taught Sunday school for a long time, and you act like I don't know of Jesus. And I said, well, I don't know. You know, knowing of Jesus is one thing, but knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior is a totally different thing. The whole world knows of Jesus. The devils believe and tremble, but have you called out to Him for forgiveness and said, Lord, save me. That's the point. And then the freedom comes. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Sanctify Him through thy truth, thy word is truth. You know what will make you free? Read your Bible. If you're bound and shackled to sin, I believe the Bible. Read it. It'll clean you up. It'll convict your heart. It'll clean your heart. It'll convince you that you're wrong and He's right. You know what it'll do? It'll compensate you. If you read it and line up with it, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be rewarded for it. The freedom. I like to talk to the veterans. You know, they're always wearing their, you know, Korea hat. Well, not much of them left, but they're wearing the Korea hat, Vietnam hat, and all these different hats. And man, thank you for your service. We appreciate that. Let me give you something to read about Jesus Christ. And about 50% of the time, they're receptive. I say, the greatest sacrifice that was ever made, we appreciate your sacrifice, but the greatest sacrifice ever made is when Jesus Christ died for sinners. And I appreciate the fact that you were willing to stand in there and pretend and act and be a type of Jesus Christ by trying, by offering your life for us. But He give you eternal life. So, oh, we live in a free nation. We live in a dumpster. I mean, this place is a trash can, twice kicked over, and the animals are using it for an outhouse. But we know where we're going. I'm not against the Lee Greenwood. At least I know I'm free and all that stuff. I ain't free because of an American flag or because we got out of Vietnam with some soldiers left. I'm free because Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection is on my account. On my account. The fallen, the figure, the first Adam fell, the last Adam completed the mission the first Adam was supposed to be on. And now the freedom you have in Christ. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment.